Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Antidormi. I'm a hydrologist from the U.S. Geological Survey out of Troy, New York. And if you came here to hear Greg Lawrence talk, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But trust me, no one's more disappointed he's not giving this talk than me. So we'll be asking the question, does long-term storage of air-dried soils affect the results of chemical analyses that are commonly performed on forest soils? As you can see, there's a fairly long list of authors here, and that's actually because this is a collaborative effort put together by the Northeastern Soil Monitoring Cooperative. So what is the Northeastern Soil Monitoring Cooperative? It's comprised of researchers and scientists from all over the northeastern United States, as well as in the parts of Canada. We meet with one of the primary goals to quantify chemical changes in soils through the application of effective soil monitoring techniques. Currently, the co-op is in its 11th year and going strong, and we hope that continues. So as we all know, monitoring soils is rather difficult. Unlike water, air data, it's not collected continuously. So someone will go out, collect sample, analyze it, and maybe not resample for years to several decades. And this large gap in time increases the risk of inconsistency in lab analyses as well as possible storage effects. So it's very important to archive soils because archiving soils allows us to evaluate the consistency of data over time. So in this first example, we're looking at exchangeable calcium for an organic horizon, or the OA horizon. The original analysis was done in 1997 to 2000 and reanalyzed again 2013 to 2014, so about 14 years later. As you can see, there's no change in data, and so since there's no change in data, we can assume that there's it's safe to assume that there's no storage effect or analytical bias. However, this data is only two points in time. There's no data filling in the gaps in between, so we have to assume, it's safe to assume that there's no change in data. However, that doesn't rule out the possibility of any sort of changes in analytical bias or storage effect. Now, in the second example, we're looking at exchangeable aluminum for an organic horizon. The original analysis was done in 1998 to 2001 using potassium chloride, and the second analysis, the reanalysis, was done in 2012 using ammonium chloride. So there's a change in method here. And as you can see, there's a pretty obvious bias here, and that bias is consistent with what you would expect with that change in method. However, it's not safe to assume that we're not also seeing a possible storage effect that could be playing a role in this. So we can't rule it out because there's only two points in time for the data. So here we're looking at pH in calcium chloride for an upper B horizon or mineral soil. It was originally analyzed 1993 to 1992, reanalyzed in 2007. So the same method was used, calcium chloride, to determine pH. And we've plotted out the mean of 12 samples that were collected through six sites in New York and New England. You can see a pretty clear and consistent bias of about two pH units between the original analyses and the reanalysis. And this is, we know that these soils were originally analyzed in one lab and reanalyzed in a different lab. So is it safe to assume that the bias we're seeing here is just a change in laboratories or possible storage effects, or maybe a little bit of both? All we know is that after reanalysis, some uncertainty still remains. So how can we try to reduce that uncertainty? The first step would be to look at already existing literature on the topic. Now, there's not much data for looking at, while we have plenty of data on reanalyzing soils, the first study, we have four studies here that all use the same method on both analyses for pH using calcium chloride. The first study looked at two different soils, one with an intermediate pH and one with a higher pH. The soil with intermediate pH decreased over a storage time of 27 years, while the higher pH sample did not change. One plausible explanation for this is that the higher pH sample may have a higher buffering capacity. The second study looked at a lower pH sample, and after 30 years saw decreases. third study done by Greg Lawrence looked at another low pH sample for mineral soil, and after 15 years saw decreases. And lastly, another intermediate pH reference sample was looked at, and after 20 years saw decreases. So, interesting enough, all studies that saw decreases found about a decrease of 0.2 pH units over a storage time of 15 to 30 years. So now we're going to look at some more continuous data, or time series data. So a soil sample was collected, homogenized, and sent to 14 different labs. The labs ran this soil in 1 to 4 batches, and each batch yielded about 2 to 9 different analyses. So here we've plotted out pH in a dilute salt solution. And although the methods were not the exact same, they were very similar, and as you can see, the results were consistent. The median deviation of individual labs with respect to the median deviation of all the labs was only 0.04 pH units. And as you can see through that black best fit line, there's no trend, so it's safe to assume there was no storage effect and no analytical bias. So now let's zoom in a little bit. We're going to look at data from one single lab, our USGS lab, and this is analyzing mineral soil, or B horizon, for pH with calcium chloride. The sample was run with at least one batch per year over a period of about 14 years. And as you can see, that black best fit line, there's a slight increase. However, the trend is nowhere near statistically significant. So you can assume that there is no analytical inconsistencies or biases and no storage effect. So the next three slides is going to show data that was provided to us through the Great Lakes Forestry Center lab. The first sample is a higher pH reference sample. Again, we're looking at pH and calcium chloride. And as you can see, over a 7-year period, there's no statistically significant trend. This next sample is an intermediate pH. Same lab, same method, B horizon. And although there's a slight decrease on the trend line, it's not statistically significant, and it's likely due to an unequal distribution of plots. So still, there's no trend over that 6-year period, and you can assume that there's no storage effect or analytical bias. Lastly, the lower pH. Same lab, same method. There actually is a statistically significant trend over a period of about 5 years. And looking at this, it's really too early to tell if we're observing a trend or some sort of analytical inconsistency. So the way to rule this out would be to continue to analyze this and evaluate the method. So to summarize the pH results I showed you, they were all looking at B horizon or mineral soils in a dilute salt solution. And what we've observed from the literature is that small changes with storage times greater than 15 years are probable, although they're very small, about 0.2 pH units over a period of 15 to greater, up to 30 years. And clear changes with storage times less than 15 years were not observed. Despite that one slide from the Great Lakes Forestry Center lab where it's really too early to tell, and the sample needs to continue to be analyzed for a longer duration of time. So now on to some other constituents. We're looking at exchangeable aluminum, and ammonium chloride was used as an extractant. These are two different labs, the USGS lab on top and the GLFC lab below. These are two different labs looking at two different samples, and the time series data is plotted here. So as you can see, over the 9-year period, there's no statistically significant trend for exchangeable aluminum in either labs, so it's safe to assume there is no storage effect. And as for exchangeable calcium, which we all know is a very important constituent when it comes to forestry health, both the USGS lab and the GLFC lab show no statistically significant trends with storage time on exchangeable calcium. So to kind of wrap up the talk, a lot was said about uncertainty, and nothing in this world is certain. However, there are some steps we can take to reduce uncertainty that are associated with air-dried storage and some possible analytical bias. The first would be to collect enough soil to enable archiving of soil samples for future analysis. We know this is very resource dependent. It takes a lot of time, money, and staff. However, we strongly encourage it. The second would be to link each soil analysis with a fully documented standard operating procedure. You want to be able to document changes in the instrument and maybe even analyst over time. The third would be to use reference samples that are similar to those that you're analyzing to monitor consistency of analyses over time. This is part of the protocol for quality assurance for water data, and we're strongly encouraged to use it on soils. And the last would be to participate in the exchange of reference samples with other labs to verify data accuracy over time. We actually didn't analyze for phosphorus the USGS data. Greg, would you know? That's definitely true. That's how I started. I started the USGS. I was working in the lab, and there's definitely, you do notice some differences with how people analyze using different instrumentation.
How you read the instrument.
Right, exactly. Yep. Right. Or how long you wait for it to stabilize with pH, stuff like that. Yeah.
Can somebody speak to the mechanism of the pH change?
Oh, why we're seeing a change in pH? Possibly.
Is oxidized in the jar, just chemically oxidized, yep. And that results in somewhat stronger carboxyl functional groups or something like that.
We are seeing very strong.
Yeah. Question, Chris, do you think, for example, that one that was a very high pH sample that didn't show change over 30 years, do you think that was because
buffering?
Are these stored air dry or oven dry?
Air dried.
It does leave some potential for reactions to take place, like he was talking about.
Are they in glass jars?
Our samples are not. They're in paper bags and then in plastic bags.
Well, they're
there
sealed.
They're tight.
Sealed in plastic and then the paper is just one of those.
Yep.
Related them to the amount we're
Even using DI, you can see that.
It's really hard to repeat those kind of things.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we make sure to restir the sample and try to homogenize again, because stuff does settle down and the dust goes to the top.
We don't use the samples,
we just remix it.